for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I would like to welcome everyone to the April 5th, 2021 Chester Heights Borough Council meeting. First up on the agenda is roll call. Tonight we have present Borough Solicitor Jerry Montella, Alternate Solicitor Mike Madrin, Borough Engineer Matt Hootman, Councilpersons Bob Adams, Laura Lim, Susan Clark, Jeanne Marie Ellis, and myself. Not present tonight are Councilpersons Natalie Anderson and Dave Ferksker. Moving along on the agenda, prior to our opportunity for the public to address council, we have Trooper Tobin from the PA State Police with us again tonight to tell us a little bit about the goings on in Chester Heights and our surroundings. Trooper Tobin, the floor is yours. Thank you for coming again.
Thank you for having me, Mr. Baum. I appreciate it. And it's nice to see everyone again this evening. So I'll jump right into it. In March, as far as crashes go, for last year and this year, we had a total of 3 DUI arrests. We had 1 last year, 0 in the borough to report this year. Traffic stops, 4 last year, 12 this year. Burglaries, 0 to report last year. We did have 2 in the borough that occurred this year. Criminal mischiefs, we had 0 property crimes occur in the borough both last year and in 2021. We had 1 theft incident occur in both years, 0 retail thefts, and we had 1 theft fraud forgery case in 2020, 0 to report in 2021. So we are happy to say traffic stops have doubled in the borough, and we are taking special notice to areas where residents have complained in regards to speed in the surrounding areas, such as Llewellyn Road and Valley Brook Road. So as far as crashes go, we did have a crash with injuries occur in the borough on March 3rd at about 7:44 p.m. We had a 2-vehicle collision in the intersection of Valley Brook Road and Llewellyn, speaking of that intersection. We had vehicle 1, what we call unit 1, the at-fault operator, was traveling north on Valley Brook Road, and we had unit 2 that was making the left on Llewellyn when they collided. Fortunately, the damage was disabling for both vehicles. We did have injuries that occurred in that. The victim, which is operator 2 in that case, was hurt, and both vehicles were towed. So I would just like to make sure that everybody is, if there is problematic areas, please don't hesitate to report it to the borough or give me a call or an email, just so we can focus on areas that are problematic. In addition to that, on the 17th of March, about 6:14, we did have an attempted burglary at 20 Highland Avenue. The investigation determined that sometime prior to that night, on the 16th, we had unknown actors attempt to gain access through the residence through a window. The window and the windowsill sustained minor damage. As a result, we did have FSU partake in that investigation. FSU is our forensic service unit, and it was discovered that the victim's vehicle had several nails that were driven into the tires that did appear intentional, and that investigation is ongoing at this time. So if anybody does have any information, please, you could give us a call and provide any helpful tips in regards to that. And lastly, for the incidents that occurred in the borough last month, we did have an incident in regards to an aggravated assault robbery case. Unfortunately, we did have a victim in the borough that reported a domestic assault. Upon arrival, this happened on March 25th at about 4 in the morning. The victim notified us in regards to a physical assault where there was physical injuries, including a swollen eye, bite marks, and multiple bruises and leg cuts. the victim met a man and conversed with him over the internet. Unfortunately, they didn't meet up. The actor was from Connecticut that came down to visit her. An argument ensued between the two of them. The victim felt uncomfortable. The argument escalated, and unfortunately, the victim was assaulted. The victim, fortunately enough, was able to provide us great detail of the actor's vehicle, being a Honda with those Connecticut plates that we were able to place back to that actor. And during the course of the investigation, we are very happy to report that we located that actor at the Best Western Hotel in which he was staying at in Concord Township, and he was taken into custody. In addition to that, as far as the communicator information that we get monthly, I would like to share with everyone that with the uprising of accessibility with the COVID-19 vaccine comes the increased rate of people being able to develop fake websites and trying to scam individuals and obtaining fake vaccines. So with that said, please, guys, we do have a website that I did share with the borough that they will gladly share with everybody in regards to where to report fraudulent COVID vaccines if they are happening, whether you're solicited in person, via telephone, on the web, on a website, etc., emails. In January of 2021, we just arrested a Washington man that was posting online, claiming to have a COVID vaccine and offering to inject the customers who fell for it, unfortunately, costing them a financial loss of anywhere between $400 to $1,000 per injection. And as we all know, the COVID vaccine is free. So please make sure that we're advising us about that. Back in February, we arrested three Maryland residents who were doing the same thing, online fraud schemes, selling COVID-19 vaccine again. And they actually did a step up, mirroring the actual legitimate websites for the FDA. So just please be vigilant with that. That was reported. And then just last month, we had the Interpol announce that the disruption of fake COVID-19 vaccine distribution for at least 2,400 doses smuggled from China to South Africa. So it is happening more often than we think, so please report that. Gift card scams have, again, guys, big increase in that. Please, the Federal Trade Commission, they have a website. Please utilize that along with us. I will be more than happy to, you know, infiltrate any complaints regarding those lines. And please remember, gift cards, they're very hard to trace, guys. This is why people actually use them on a consistent basis, because unfortunately enough, you could get them in unlimited denominations. And once you give that code on the back of that card out, we don't have enough investigatory leads to be able to detain that person or at least get them into custody. So just please, if anybody's asking for gift cards and asking for that code on the back, especially government agencies, they do not use gift cards. So please do not fall victim to that. And that is all I have for everyone this evening. If anybody has any questions or anything that they would like to report.
Does anybody have any questions for Trooper Tobin?
I have a suggestion. I was thinking about the whole thing around fraud cases. I mean, do you have any kind of a public bulletin that we could share with other people about that?
Yes. Yeah, so I did share that with Gina and Susan. I believe you are CC'd in that as well. If not, I can CC you in that just so you guys can disseminate that. And then also just please be aware, too, that I do offer that free service to the community if anybody's interested as well. As far as theft cases, robbery cases, identity theft. I teach all of that training. So that would be an option too if anybody's interested.
Yeah, I don't see where I got it. So
I have it. It's set to go out this week over Constant Contact. I just try really hard to not send more than one email a day and not more than three a week from Constant Contact. Otherwise, people start seeing it as spam and they just don't read it. So yeah, it's scheduled to go out this week as a PSA.
Can you share it with council members, please?
Sure.
Okay, any other questions for Trooper Tobin? All right, Trooper Tobin, as always, thank you for your time. We look forward to seeing you next month.
Thanks, have a good guys. Night. You too.
Okay, moving forward on the agenda, we have an opportunity for public to address council. We ask that you state your name and address for the record.
All right, we'll start at the bottom. Marta.
Remembered me this time.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a question. Sorry, I just want to look at the agenda real quick. I see that on the agenda at the bottom, under the Finance Committee, we're proposing a new account for Pliget and then a new account for the American Recovery Plan Act. I have a quick question about that. Is that Pliget fund going to move into Santander account? Is that what was mentioned at the last meeting?
Yes. The current, do you want me to mention it now? President Baum, can I answer now or do you want me to wait till the finance? Okay. Yeah.
Please do.
So, Mr. School. Yes. Yeah. So, Sue and I looked into it and the current plug-in account, the IG class account has gone away and it's gone to what they call a reserve account. And the current rate of interest that we're getting on it is 0.02. So we wanted to do a little research and see, as you understand, all the rates are low right now, but we want to try and do a better job to take some of the funds that we have and try and earn more money for the borough. So one of the things that we did is we reached out, and Santander has right now an interest-bearing account of 0.10. So that would put us at a 0.08 increase. And I've reached out to the bank and spoken to them. And as long as the feds don't lower the rates, and currently that's what the feds said they don't plan to do for the next year, we hopefully can hold fast at that 0.10% of interest-bearing accounts. So that's one of the things that I wanted to propose for tonight.
Okay, so
Sue, did I say that right? Sue, did I get all that properly? Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Skoll.
So the next question I had is, I know that Pliget has a pretty good compliance to Act 72 for having all of our funds be secured above the FDIC limit of 250. And I'm just wondering if we've checked with Santander or gotten a report from them as to how they're going to secure the borough funds for anything that's in excess of that 250 FDIC limit.
That's a good question. I guess I can reach out to them and ask them. That's a good question.
Yeah. So the one thing I would mention there is that we can request a report from the financial institutions where we have our deposits to provide us with a report of how they're collateralizing our funds. And I think it might be a good time to do that, especially since we have over $1 million in funds, even in Pliget, just to make sure that we're covered and we're in compliance with the law.
Sure. Mr. School, what I would recommend is if that you could email me that and I'll pass it along to the Finance Committee and we'll discuss it.
I will do that. Thank you.
No, thank you. I appreciate it.
This is Jerry Montella. We actually, I think, looked into that some months ago, maybe a year or so ago. I think there was some concern about Santander and limitation regarding the FDIC, and I believe we received a response indicating that it would not be a problem. I think it's somewhere in one of the emails, but I recall us, the borough, looking into that and coming back with a positive comment from them. And I'll be more than happy to search my email account and see if I can dig it up for you after the meeting.
Okay.
If it was that long ago, we should probably check it again anyway. I mean, that's, you know, $750,000 worth of potentially uninsured funds.
Yeah, I'm not saying that the email will certainly confirm it. I'm just saying that we did, in fact, check with regard to that bank being a FDIC, federally insured entity. So I'll try and dig it out, and at least it's a starting point.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. I still will make the motion tonight, but I will follow up with the bank. I just want to be clear.
And Cyril, do you have anything for counsel?
No, thanks.
Philip Locke?
Thank you, Larry.
You good? Okay. Sam Iannucci, anything for bar counsel?
I'm good.
Okay. Elizabeth McKinnon?
Hi, everybody. Elizabeth McKinnon, 333 Willits Way, Garnet Valley. I just wanted to report some results from the CRC stream cleanup held last month. Just a few seconds of time here. Just wanted to let everyone know on March 20th, 32 sites over 130 miles of streams were cleaned up, resulting in a grand total of 26,210 pounds of trash removed, plus 71 tires. For our site here in Chester Heights, we had, I guess I'm happy to report, we had more volunteers than we've ever had. It was the first year that Greg Chestnut couldn't make it, so he sent his wife instead. But we had 19 other volunteers that covered the area. We went adjacent to Powell's property along Valley Brook Road to about the stop sign at Bodley. And our totals were pretty impressive. We pulled 14 bags of trash, some lumber, windows, chairs. Special shout out to Marta Driscoll and Jeff Dortz. They were out there with me in the 30-degree temperature. I also wanted to just get some ideas from the folks on the call on how to handle something that we found down there along the stream. There was a large corrugated pipe about 10 to 15 feet long that it must have floated downstream in one of the storms, and it's located in the sand along the creek. So it's super heavy. We couldn't get it out. But I'd just like to get it out of there at some point, and was wondering if there was someone who I could contact to help.
It would be somebody on the Environment Committee, correct?
Yeah. I think the question is, do we need machinery, a crane, or is this accessible? How far away could a truck potentially move to this location?
You're not going to be able to get equipment in there, heavy equipment, because you've got so many trees between the road and the stream bed where it's located. The problem is the pipe itself is not heavy, but it's embedded in sand along the creek bed. So that's what's making it inaccessible to get it out of there. So it might take like a few guys to kind of just like dig it out, I'm thinking, and just carry it up. But it's bulky. They would need a truck to, you know, put it into to dispose of it. But definitely.
Is it plastic or is it metal?
It's metal.
Okay.
It's like aluminum colored.
Okay.
Metal.
Probably galvanized.
And yeah. About how wide would you say?
I'd say it's about 3 foot wide.
Wow. Okay. By about 12 foot long, did you say? Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's pretty big. Yep. Is it halfway submerged in the sand or less?
No, it's about a quarter.
Okay. Larry, do you have any suggestions about who we could maybe find who would have some kind of a gas saw, maybe with a carbide blade that could cut that up into manageable sections to remove that?
Let me look into that.
How about the fire department? Could they help us out?
Let me look into it and see. I mean, it may be even too much for the fire company. That big of a, you know, if it's 3 foot in diameter, that's pretty hefty. So,
Larry?
Yeah.
How about Moore?
Yeah, Moore might be able to do
they
it.
Can, they could definitely help, but it's just a matter of, you know what I mean, let somebody from there contact and whoever would be contacting them to look at it.
Yeah, I'll go down and look at it first and see if it, you know, what needs to be done to get it removed.
Okay.
So it's located right in, it's located, do you know where the white picket fence is on Matson Road?
Mm-hmm.
If you turn right down there, it's right in that area. Just follow the stream bed and you'll see it on the opposite side of the bank.
Okay.
If you need to contact me, I'd be happy to walk down there with you too.
No problem.
So while you're there, just one other thing. sorry. There's, I don't even know how to describe it. Marta, maybe you can jump in and help me. But there was like a, what's that?
The Boy Scout camp.
Yeah. So there's some sort of like picnic area and it had a wood roof. I mean, I've lived here for 20 years. I've seen it. It had a wood roof and it had, you know, wooden tables where the kids used to come and have like a picnic lunch. And the roof has fallen in. So there's a lot of wood just, and it's very treacherous to just leave it the way it is.
That's on private property.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. All right, I just wanted to know what that was, so I didn't want to go near it if it was private property.
Yeah, it's in the old place.
If it's a safety hazard, could we send the owner a letter and ask them if they could address it? If it.
Well, but it's pretty far on the private property, so, I mean, you'd be have to trespassing. I mean, maybe they need to mark their land for trespassing or no trespassing. that would be about the only thing I think you could do because it's pretty far, you know, right at the bank of the hill there, mm-hmm. right sitting in the Millrace.
Is that the Kelly property?
No, it's the one that keeps coming to us with the steep slope.
Oh, Keeney?
I think so, yes.
Is where this structure located, is it within the borough?
Yes, it is.
Well, we certainly could send them a letter that there is an unsafe structure and that they need to address it.
I think it's collapsed to the point that it's not even a structure anymore. It used to be an old Boy Scout camp.
Okay. So it's actually, there's no structure standing. It's on the ground.
Correct.
Okay.
This is the 103-109 Valley Brook Road, the guy that wants to build 32 townhomes. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's not going to want to put any money into doing stuff like that.
It's been like that for at least 15 years because we used to walk back there. So it's not new in that okay. for a long time.
No, it's definitely not new.
Okay.
All right. Elizabeth, is that all you had?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Nancy Server.
Thank you, Beth.
Do you have anything for public comment?
Sorry, trying to unmute. No, I'm good. Thank you so much.
Okay. Tony?
Nope, I'm good. Thank you.
Debbie Miller?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. I don't want to miss anyone. So, Mary Kay, you'll do the school district report, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have anything for public comment?
No, I don't. Thanks.
Okay. Ron Serkin?
Yeah, I want to talk about the One Smith Bridge. Very briefly, I sent an email to council, all the council members yesterday, so I don't want to spend a lot more time on it, but I just wanted to raise it again. Since I see that it's on the agenda for tonight, as I understand it, the owner, Conrad, is looking for action by the borough so that he doesn't have to put in a sewer line all the way down to near the creek in order to get a sewer on his property. Is that basically right? If somebody.
Ron, I will pass you to either Matt Hoopman or to Rich Jensen, the zoning officer, to clarify that. Matt, are you with us?
Yes. What's before Borough Council tonight is a planning module request to for the corner property of Smith Bridge and Valley Brook to tie into the existing manhole at the intersection of Smith Bridge and Valley Brook.
But without that, as I understand it, in order for the owner to get sewer service to One Smith Bridge, the way that things are currently, he has to put in a sewer line going all the way down Smith Bridge.
That is a huge topic of discussion. That has been the stance that Southwest Delaware County Municipal Authority has taken. That is not the stance of Chester Heights Borough, at least not my understanding of the borough stance.
Okay. Well, be that as it may, I guess my point is that I would hope that the borough would want to have some influence on how that property is ultimately used for the benefit of the borough. And I explained this more in the email. And again, I don't want to spend a lot of time repeating what I put into the email, but it just seems to me that if the owner has come to the borough seeking this action, it's something that he feels that he needs. And it ought to be an opportunity for us to engage with him, for the borough to engage with him and try to do some planning here for something that might give us some ability to control what winds up being used there, because it's such a visible property. I don't know that there's another more visible property in the whole borough right now. Right. So that's the point I would like to make. I'd like to, you know, I would hope that council would have some discussion about this before simply approving the proposal that you have on the agenda tonight. It's an opportunity, and I'd hate to see the opportunity go past. I mean, if ultimately this is what, you know, that approving that resolution is something you have to do, doesn't have to be done tonight. It can be done next month or the month after, but you ought to have a little bit of time to see if you can get involved with the owner and see what can be done.
The purpose of a sewage module is, and I'll just read it right off the resolution, is whereas Chester Heights Borough, this is, of course, if they adopt the resolution, finds that the subdivision described in the attached sewage facilities planning module conforms to applicable sewage relating to zoning and other sewage-related municipal ordinances and plans. So the applicant is making application to DEP for the sewer connection, and the borough's responsibility is merely to see that if the proposed method of sewage disposal is consistent with their Act 537 plan. And since connection to public sewers is about the highest order of sewage disposal, I would think and I would recommend to the borough that they approve the resolution for the sewer tie-in. Right now, there is a property that was tested for an on-site sewage disposal system, and the soils are not suitable for on-site sewage disposal. So the most appropriate means is connection to public sewers. So this module doesn't approve in itself a land development. It doesn't approve what uses might happen on the property. It's only meant for the borough to concur that the proposed method of sewage disposal is consistent with their Act 537 plan.
But why is it coming up now rather than 2 or 3 or 4 years? Because when this property was attempted to be developed for, I don't know, some kind of a bakery or something like that, why is it coming up?
The only reason it wasn't approved then was that they were trying to get a holding tank, and DEP would not approve a holding tank.
Yeah.
Now that there's sewage there, this is the obvious route to go. And I don't believe he's looking for anything other than what is a use by right within the ordinance for a business property.
And if I may add, Rich, what took so long was he could not tie into the sewers until they were dedicated and accepted for dedication by Southwest Delaware County Municipal Authority.
Well, and yeah,
that process took many, many years to rectify. And I think only recently has that whole system been accepted for dedication, whereby the applicant is now allowed to tie in.
Right.
Rich, while you're on the call here, is there any legal reason why the borough would object to this planning module?
Only if it was not in keeping with the subdivision land development, the 537 plan, those things all spell out the playing field that has to happen within the borough. Okay, and as Matt said, public sewer is the highest level. Okay, and within your 537, there are areas that are on-site sewage because there is no sewer there. Okay, so it, as long as it complies with the descriptions laid out in the 537 plan, there is no legal reason to deny it, and there's really no leverage, you know, behind it, because DEP runs the sewage. The boroughs and townships are forced to be a part of that and to have a plan, okay, and see that it's implemented. So it's really a formality.
I think there's a theme here, or maybe a thought here, Ron, that the borough is helping the applicant out from proceeding the way that Southwest Sewer Authority thought he should proceed originally, which was to run the line all the way down to the end of the borough border. That has been an ongoing fight, if you will, between Mr. Conrad and the sewer authority. You know, he had offered to run it to the end of his property and the line at some point be picked up there and ran further. Southwest Sewer Authority thought that was not good construction practices, which our own engineer, I think, would not agree with. So by no means is the borough in any way stepping into this. We're actually a party to this, planning module. We have no legal reason not to approve this. And as far as your term of leveraging this to what could possibly go there, I think we're opening up the borough to litigation if we try and steer a property owner into a use that maybe he does not want to uphold, as long as he's within the uses upheld by our ordinance. The borough is kind of at, you know, an equal position, if you will.
No, I don't think I agree with that comment at all. Because I'm not talking about forcing him to do something that he ultimately doesn't want to do. I'm talking about working with him cooperatively to see if there are ways that we can benefit the borough and him and get something in there that might be more beneficial than just, say, a private professional office might wind up in there, which would be a perfectly legal use, but wouldn't add anything particularly to that specific location. I don't think there's anything that I'm talking about raises any legal issues at all and any threat of litigation, because ultimately if he says no, he says no, and, you know, he goes about his business. But you can certainly try to influence him. And
Borough
has a lot at its disposal that he may not have.
You could certainly do that regardless. He can't go any place without the planning module. He's been dead in the water for 5-6 years, if not longer, trying to do something with that property.
I think, Ron, what the issue has been here unofficially is Mr. Conrad and the sewer authority have butted heads, so to speak, and that has dragged this on for years and years. And hopefully, finally, we're coming to a position where they will let him connect and that property will be developed, because it's been an eyesore, as you know, from being a resident for so long. For, has it been 10 years or longer? No, I'm not even sure.
For me?
No, I'm sorry. That building's been vacant.
Oh, yeah, probably about that.
If I can ask a question, isn't this all, unless I'm misunderstanding, this is all contingent on what Delcora says, no matter who's there, whether it's Conrad or another owner. If they say no, whoever occupies that property has got to continue the sewer. Am I wrong to say that everything we're talking about right now is mute? and she would be waiting for that decision, whether it's Conrad or a future owner, for Delcor to come back and say yay or nay, and then we're in a position to make a decision.
That's the purpose of a planning module. It starts at the borough and it gets routed through everybody that collects, conveys, or treats the sewage. So everybody has the opportunity to sign off on the planning module. But really, it's confined to whether each of those entities that collect, convey, or treat have the capacity to do so. And that's basically all DEP is looking for, is that sewage is properly handled and disposed of, that sewage which is being generated by this site or will be generated by this site.
And Matt, isn't it true that they have a land development approval back in 2018 based on comments from your last review letter?
They've had conditional final plan approval. The one item stopping them from moving forward is no ability for adequate sewage disposal.
Okay. And Ron, to your point, you know, Mr. Conrad has been, you know, an ear that has listened in the past. My only fear is that this is dragged on so long, he might be in a position where he just wants to sell the property. So if that was the case, the borough would have to negotiate, if you will, have talks with a potential new owner.
Well, that may be, but maybe somebody ought to be reaching out to him to find out.
Sure.
Yeah, it is for sale, so.
I can do that. But like I said, it's been so long, and I think at this point he probably wants to sell the property, I would imagine. He's been at a stalemate for 10 years, Matt, has it been? 8 years?
It's been every bit of eight. It's probably close to 10, yes.
Okay.
One thing I would like to know is, does he have a sale contingent on provision of sewer?
Well, I would think that anyone who bought the property will be smart enough to have that contingency in their agreement of sale. That would probably be presented by the buyer, I would think.
I think it's worth asking.
Sure.
Okay. Are we moving on?
Ron, anything further?
Yeah, no, I don't have anything. Well, actually, I have something that's completely unrelated to that. And this is a quick question. I just saw something on, I'm particularly interested in this because I do a lot of bicycling. I saw something online that, on this Octorero, rail to trail line, something online that said that Concord Township and Chester Heights Borough are jointly participating in a feasibility study, which I hadn't seen any reference to before, and I'm just curious if that's accurate.
There was mention made of that, I believe, last year or the year before. I haven't had anything come past my desk in the last 6 to 8 months.
I can give you some background on that. I honestly, as I recall, is Fred on the call?
No.
I believe the issue there is Wawa does not want the trail to go through their property because I think the trail line runs right between corporate and the homes on Wawa Road. So I think there was a feasibility study. We have it probably from years ago, but I don't think it's moved forward.
Susan, this is Ann Searle. when I was on council, I was on the Rails to Trails Committee, and Chester Heights did take part in the feasibility study back then. And you're correct. It was basically, it was at a stalemate. Once it reached the edge of Chester Heights, it was both the Wilcox property and the Wawa property that did not want the trail running through it. So it just kind of went away after that.
The trail bisects private land. Like cuts.
Right, exactly. And there was some agreement between, well, it was supposed to go up the rail line, Gina, but there was some agreement that Wawa had with, I don't know if it was Pico or somebody, meant that they would never put something on that land. So that's when it just died.
Okay. Jean Montgomery.
Oh, yep. Hi. Thanks. Thanks, Larry. No, I have nothing tonight.
I was all waited for in anticipation of you having another moment. I see a phone number. Did I miss anybody on public comment?
Did you ask Philip?
He did.
I did. Okay. Yeah. I think I've gotten everybody. So it's back to you, Drew.
Okay, Larry, thank you. Moving forward on the agenda, we have the March Treasurer's Report. That report has receipts totaling $50,529. It has expenditures totaling $64,290.93. Do we have any questions, comments on that report? No questions. Do I have a motion to approve the March 2021 Treasurer's Report?
Laura, you're talking, but we can't hear you.
Something's wrong with her. I'll make the motion.
Susan, thank you. Do I have a second?
Okay. It's either you. Okay. Yeah.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? The motion is approved. Moving forward, we have item number 6 on the agenda, correspondence.
Did you skip the meeting minutes?
I skipped right over them. Yes, I did. So let's go to correspondence and we'll circle back. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Thank you, Mr. President. We've received a number of emails regarding culverts under Valley Brook Road near Route 1, under Valley Brook Road at Madison's entrance and exit, and under a bridge on Wawa Road. We received some questions regarding in-person tax collections, which then did happen. We received a complaint regarding a political flag on Valley Brook Road. We received a thank you letter from the CRC for our continued monetary support for the cleanup that happened that Beth talked about earlier. Questions regarding potholes and thank yous for putting cones at the potholes on Llewellyn. Questions from Susan Clark's forwarded an email regarding sewer hookups with the new construction along Lanai and Llewellyn, or one or the other, I forget which. And that is the end of correspondence. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Gina. Okay, circling back, we have the approval of the meeting minutes for the March 1st, 2021 regular council meeting, also the March 29th work session meeting. And in addition, Susan Clark, was there a question of whether we approved the February 1st meeting revision minutes?
I listened to the beginning of the March 1st meeting in which we I think Darlene was having computer problems and hadn't updated the medical marijuana section, but
okay.
I guess we must have come back to it later in the meeting. But it wasn't, it didn't show as old business. That's what I found a little confusing in the minutes, but.
If you want to call for a motion now to approve those, just to be sure we can do that.
Darlene, was that approved later in the meeting? Is that what happened? You're on mute.
Yeah, it was approved. I don't know if it was under old business or new business.
It wasn't under old business or new business. It was just listed as part of the, and that's where I got a little confused, but it's fine.
Okay, first up, we have the March 1st, 2021 regular council meeting. Is there any questions, comments, or concerns with those meeting minutes? With no questions, do I have a motion to approve the March 1st regular council meeting minutes?
Make the motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved. Moving on next to the March 29th work session meeting. Do we have any questions or comments on those minutes? With no questions, do I have a motion to approve the March 29th work session meeting minutes?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved. Next up on the agenda, item number 7, inspector's reports. Rich, while we have you here, do you have anything for building or zoning?
Yes. One second here. During the month, there were a total of 7 permits issued, 3 HVACs, one for a deck, one roof, and one electrical permit, and one with a deck and a roof. That's about it. Still hear me?
Yes, Ron. Rich, yes.
Okay. That's all kind of slow right at the moment, other than finishing existing jobs. That's really all I have. Nothing zoning-wise.
Thank you, Rich. Moving forward, we have Fire Marshal, Mr. Mike Sciocco.
Mike, you're on mute. We can't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. There were only 2 incidents last month that required a second look. But the important thing this month is, as we're starting to clean our properties after the winter, we're accumulating a lot of debris that people want to burn. And I'm reminding them that you do need a permit to burn, and burning is only allowed on Friday and Saturday, and it must be put out at sunset. They're the 2 big things. I've been getting a lot of calls on burning, so I just wanted to bring that up tonight. Any questions?
Hey, Sue, do we have a burn permit on our website? Is she on the line?
Yes, we have it on our website.
Oh, it is on there, darling? Thank you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mike, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Moving forward, we have EMC Roadmaster. Larry, if you would.
PA1 calls have been cleared with no issues. Other than that, the county had their first EMC meeting for the county. They're going to have them quarterly. And they basically, it was more of a, you know, who's who right now on the first meeting. Other than that, as far as the roads go, you know, we have a couple bills left over from the snow from Moore. But everything else has been quiet except for the pipe in the creek.
All right, Larry, thank you. Any questions for Larry before we move forward? Okay, moving forward, we have a solicitor's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. At this time, I'd ask counsel to ratify the nomination of and approve the motion to appoint Michael Madren, Esquire, as the alternate solicitor, which took place at the work session.
I will make that motion.
I will
make that motion.
I'll second.
The floor is open for discussion.
I have just one comment. I know we haven't finalized this yet, but the website needs to be updated. It still says Pete Rohana.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Was that an aye from everyone?
We need to be unmuted to actually be recording saying aye.
Okay, I'm going to try that again. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved. Mike,
welcome aboard.
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. And it felt much better the second time you called the vote than the first time.
You got a little scared the first time, didn't you?
The second matter I have, and welcome, Mike, the second matter I have is at the February 22nd, 2021 Borough Council work session. Council did approve the final land development escrow release for 240 Wawa Road land development in the amount of $515,939. At that time, now Wawa Corporate is requesting the borough release the escrow for professional services. My understanding that all invoices have been paid and there is a balance of $5,679.41 to be returned to Wawa Corporate. So I would ask council to consider a motion to approve the escrow release of the professional services to Wawa Corporate for the 240 Wawa Road land development application in the amount of $5,679.41.
I'll make the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
I abstain.
Let the record show that Councilperson Ellis abstained and the motion is approved. Jerry, thank you.
That's all I had. Other routine matters.
Thank you.
You know what? I want to ask a question, Matt. Are you all caught up on your invoicing?
No.
Was any of that for 240 Wawa Road?
No, as you remember, we were conflicted out. We represented Wawa for that application.
That's right. Thank you.
Okay, up next on the agenda is the engineer's report. Matt, could I hand that to you, please?
Yes, listed under engineer's report is the planning module resolution for One Smith Bridge that we talked a little bit about the public comment section of the meeting. We talked about it briefly last at the work session, and then I circulated the standard form that DEP uses for resolution. It's a resolution for plan revision for new land development. It's to revise the Borough's Act 537 plan, and that's done whenever there's new land development or new connection to public sewers. And again, the action required from the Borough is merely a concurrence that the proposed method of sewage disposal is in conformance with the Borough's Act 537 plan, and connecting to public sewers certainly would. I may add from the discussion earlier that at some point in time, the applicant will have to come back before the Borough to get his final land development approval. He has condition approval, but it's been a number of years, so he'll have to come back to Borough Council. And I would think if any council members, you know, have any questions or comments about what may be proposed or may not be proposed on that site, that would be the appropriate opportunity to do so. But as far as the sewage disposal, we've got a property that can't achieve on-site sewage disposal, has been held up for over close to 10 years, now has access to public sewers, came available over the last year, and I think it would be appropriate that the Borough Council, or my recommendation to Borough Council, is to go ahead and approve the resolution for the 537 revision.
Is there a resolution number to that, Matt?
On this, no, it'd be the next available resolution number.
Okay. I'll make the motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
Bob was on mute.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
I vote nay.
Let the record show that Councilperson Clark voted no, and the motion is approved. Matt, anything further?
Just routine matters on other engineering issues with the borough.
Okay. Thank you, Matt.
Matt, can I ask a quick question before we move on?
Sure.
I know you're working with me trying to move the playground equipment along. Were you able to reach out to the general contractor and answer those questions for him?
Yeah, we spoke about that Friday, I guess. Did not have the opportunity today. I will certainly do so tomorrow because we made a couple updates to the plan and it's time to wrap the loose ends up. So I'll be talking to him tomorrow.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, Matt.
Yes.
In our work session, you were asked to see what the capacity was of the pump station at Brookfield to see if it would handle the Welland and Smith Bridge. Did you have a chance to look at that?
The original planning module for Brookfield handled the, I think it was 77 units from Brookfield, another 20 or so units from Camp Meeting, the firehouse, and the Smithbridge Road. That was all part of the planning module approval. But I know the pump itself, when the designer went through it, also was told to accommodate the pump capacity for, I guess it's like the eight or so properties from the top of the hill, which would flow back by gravity to the to Borough Hall and then into that sewer there. But I'm still looking for that documentation, written documentation of that.
I just don't understand how the approval of Brookfield and Rose Hill were founded upon bringing sewer to Smithbridge, Llewellyn, and water to parts of Valley Brook up to Heather Lane, and yet it didn't happen on Llewellyn, and it's not happening on Smithbridge. I don't understand that. I just think we got a bait and switch there, and it's, you know, I mean, technically it's in the testimony. People could sue for it, but no one's going to do that because of the expense of doing so. I'm just really disappointed in how that happened.
Well, I don't know how I can comment on that. I'd have to go back and look at the, I guess, the conditional use minutes. I do know that, as I recall, the applicant's team was made statements that they were going to bring public sewers to the center of town, which they did, to provide sewer and water service to Camp Meeting, which had no sewer service and had two fires, and that sewer and water is installed. And having the centralized pump station does open up the ability for, you know, nearby properties to connect to. And Rose Hill, I guess, will, as that was approved, that has the ability for everybody across the street from the frontage on Llewellyn Road to tie directly into that force main. That force main is going to be there and installed for direct connection. Any of those properties across the street want to do so.
But if the Brookfield pump station, I'm gonna say one more thing, and then I'm never going to let it go. First of all, I just think we got kind of, excuse me, screwed there. But, you know, yeah, they can tie in. The Llewellyn residents can tie into the high pressure force main with, you know, the additional cost of a grinder pump. But the pump station won't handle it because it wasn't designed for it. Right? No. I didn't hear you say Llewellyn in that list.
No, I believe the pump station was designed for it.
Well, you said it was 77 townhomes.
No, I'm sorry to interrupt you. That was the planning module was listed those units. But beyond that, in discussions with the design engineer at the time that plan was approved, we made specific requirements that that the pump be sized to handle everything which was listed specifically in the planning module and to handle any sites that would naturally be able to tie into that pump station. You know, by gravity or by reasonable low pressure force main to the pump station.
So what you're telling me is you didn't tell me the capacity of Brookfield. You told me what was planned.
Yes.
And can we find out what the actual capacity of the Brookfield pump station is, please?
Yes. And I believe I said that, well, I had verified it was in the module and recollection of the capacity. And I try to find the written documentation of that for your request.
Thank you.
Matt, question for you. Do we know if the house on Llewellyn Road asked permission to tie into that high-pressure main, grinder pump would be their responsibility to pay for it, correct? And then would there also be a tap-in fee to Southwest Sewer Authority?
Yes and yes.
And that tap-in fee, from memory, was approximately $7,000 and some dollars. Yeah, maybe Jerry can...
I think
and
it's
Mr.
More
President,
close,
yeah,
closer
the
than
tap
nine.
And fee. I'm sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
Jerry, I thought that tap and fee was closer to $9,000.
Yeah, the tapping fee was actually originally set out by Southwest at $10,000, I think $700 or $500. And then through a series of negotiations with Southwest, that number was then reduced to 7,000, I think 400 or something along those lines. So, you know, there was a benefit to the potential users. I do not know. I guess the question is whether or not that tapping fee, the $7,000 tapping fee, is actually what Southwest is looking for now, or are they looking for the current tapping fee? I do not know what the current tapping fee is as it relates to Southwest Municipal Authority, today.
Does a tapping fee include the excavation that the owner has to do on their property? So no. They have to do the excavation, they have to buy the grinder pump, and they have to pay the tapping fee, correct?
Yes.
So, Matt, is it safe to say if a resident wanted to tie in between tapping fees, the E1 pump, and the install, you're probably looking at $22,000 to $25,000, probably?
Yeah, if it's tapping fees 9 and the pumps 4 or 5, 14 installation, certainly, yeah, over 20,000, yes.
Hey, Matt, I have a question for you. Being a resident of Brookfield, what, also, and again, I don't know all the specifics here, that's not my expertise, but also here, of everything tied into this pumping station, what effect does it have on the residents, let's say, of Brookfield? Because all I hear is all this potential building and this pumping station is going to hold, you know, such as monthly costs and that sort of thing. You know, as more people tie into this pumping station and the pumping station needs to be maintained and pumped out. And I'm asking that, you know, being a resident of Brookfield.
Yeah. The pump station is owned and maintained by Southwest Delaware County Municipal Authority. So that's just worked into their yearly budget. It's not like there's a one-to-one association between, let's say, whatever fees you may pay with the association and the pump station. It's owned and maintained by Southwest. And the maintenance and upgrades, if they're ever required, are the responsibility of Southwest. And they're funded through everybody's sewage fees that they pay for sewage disposal. And also, I guess, to some extent, when new users come into this system, they pay the tap-in fees.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I guess what I'm asking is, two years down the road, 3 years, 4 years down the road, you know, like we pay X amount of dollars now, a month or whatever it is to, I guess, Decor, Southwest, if these fees are going to increase, or could they potentially increase because of surrounding areas tying into it, and then how, residents digest that. That's all.
Yeah. And they can only raise the rates over an entire district, which is a fairly large area. It wouldn't be by a community by community basis.
Okay. All right.
So while we're on this topic, now that the pump station at Brookfield has finally been dedicated to Southwest and we can start talking about tying in, I know we've mentioned before, but I don't think we've ever actually finished an ordinance or a code that describes exactly what a resident's responsibility is if they do decide to tap in, how they retire their current septic system. And I know other municipalities have one of these on the books. Jerry, I'm sure that there's plenty of templates out there for this type of conversation, but it seems like it's going to be imminent, and I think we need to be prepared for not just letting someone leave a septic system just kind of there. And what's the remediation of, or what are we going to choose to require of our residents should they decide to spend the money to tap in, and what that looks like?
Jerry, we wrote an ordinance for that, didn't we?
I thought the borough SCO Mike Scioco helped put an ordinance together by looking at other area ordinances, and I thought the borough did have that, but
yeah,
they have it maybe on the books, but I know there's certainly, if it's not, then we have the ability. There's other ordinances that are out there. I mean, I know Concord Township has them and some other municipalities. I thought we did already, but I may be wrong. It's been a while since I looked at it.
I could totally be mistaken. It was just on my mind, and scratch what I said if I'm wrong.
The issue had come up before, so I can take a quick look.
I know we worked on it. I just I just don't know exactly where to find it in the code.
I don't remember approving it, and I looked at our ordinances the other day because someone asked me a question on another topic, and I didn't see it, but that could just mean that it's not updated on the website either, or maybe we tabled it and said, hey, we have it here for when we need it, and we didn't vote on it. I don't remember, but I think we need to look into it one way.
I think it was approved before 2018.
Well, I will certainly take a look at it. I know we did discuss it based upon your prior concern, Councilwoman Ellis, and let me find out whether or not we did, in fact, enact it, or if we have to, we'll get it back on the table for your consideration.
Great. Susan, I'm sorry, good.
Well, we called it abandonment is what we called it. But yeah, let Jerry check. I don't see it offhand.
Sure. And Jerry, while we're on the topic, if there's a resale on Llewellyn Road where sewer is available, obviously all buyers would probably have a test for the septic system. If that system fails, I'm assuming most of those properties do not have a replacement area. Would they be required to tie in?
If there's language in the code, which typically it says, if you're within 150 feet of a sewer force main and you go to, sell your house, then at that time you would then have to connect into into the sewer force main. I think it's 149, set chapter 149 of sewers.
I'm leaving.
Okay, so we have an ordinance to that effect then?
I believe so.
Okay.
Can I ask a quick question? So are you just asking, Jerry, do we have an existing ordinance that if someone sells their house and it's on-site septic, and when they sell their house, since they purchased it, when they go to sell it, if there's sewage available, public sewage available for them to tie into within 150 feet of their house, they have to convert, even if they go to sell their house and they do a sewage test and it passes, the on septic test passes?
Well, I think I left that out, Jerry. And
yeah,
what I'm suggesting
is there are different ordinances in different municipalities related to what is the appropriate time to connect, or whether or not the municipality believes that because they don't have, because they have septic systems in their borough or municipality, that they now want to make sure that everyone is on a sewer line, public sewer, as opposed to septic systems, because they typically fail at some point. So I have to go back and look at our ordinances to see if we have something in the code that has language in it that, upon the sale of a home, you now have to connect. I can tell you there are municipalities, because I represent one, which has specific language in their ordinances, okay, which require a homeowner to tie into a septic system if it's within 150 feet of the force main. And when the house is sold, then that house has to, that's when the transfer would take place.
Right. I understand. So a year ago when I joined council with public sewage, public services, that was one of the things that I worked with Mike Sioku Jr. on. And we read the 537 plan and we discussed it. That was kind of like the impetus for him to create the sewage mapping plan, because it actually, the 537 plan that says that municipalities need to determine how the percentages of homes that they have that are on-site septic versus sewage, and then a map and a percentage, and show tie-in possibilities. That's really what the initial plan of the 537 says. So for the borough to enact an ordinance to step it up and mandate that someone has to tie into septic, I think is some, or on public sewage, I think is something that the borough needs to look at, because that is not what the 537 plan isn't mandating that. And we should probably go back and take a look at that.
I just was looking back. We first talked about it in May of 2016. Frank Daly asked about it in July of 2017. I think it got lost.
So there is a
there is a code related to, in your ordinance, an installation, use, and maintenance of sewage grinder pumps, and that was done in April of 2016. I don't see, there is a Article 1, 149-1 regarding covering required during, required upon abandonment or termination of the use of a cesspool, septic tank, or similar receptacle. But I have to look at it a little bit more closely.
And Jerry, could we, if we enact an ordinance such as this, could we put terms in there to say if the system is still viable, it could be used?
You can. You have to certainly make it consistent with the MPC as well as, you know, what is feasible given your some recommendation by your sewage enforcement officer.
Okay. All right, Jerry, thank you. Any further questions for Matt? Matt, could we just confirm that, just jumping back to the One Smith Bridge Road, that with that planning module, that he will bring that force main to the edge of his property and then tap off of that for the market, as opposed to coming from the manhole, maybe potentially right to his property, right to his building?
Yes.
So this way that line could be picked up at some point?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, moving forward, we have item number 10 on the agenda, Mayor's report.
Mayor Wood sent me his report to read in his stead. Pull it up. Memorial Day event. The VFW post number 6613 Bonaventure Clark has advised me that they will be, me being Fred, Mayor Wood, that we will be providing a color guard and rifle team to honor those who have served the country and the borough. The event will take place at the Borough Park on Monday, May 31st, sometime between 9:30 and 10 o'clock in the morning. We need to ask Scott's Lawn Service if they will be donating a couple of flats of flowers as they have in the past. We need to ask the Scouts if they will be planting the flowers for us before the Memorial Day event. Is there anyone in the borough who would like to say a few words after the service about a family member who has served their country that they might like to honor? Is there anyone in the borough who would like to play taps on a trumpet at the end of the service? Residents are encouraged to start showing up at the park on Memorial Day after 9 a.m. And, does someone want to engage in arranging for coffee and cold drinks? We'll have to talk about that regarding COVID. Special thanks to our resident of Valley Brook Townhouses, Dan Smith, for coordinating this event with the VFW. And then Dave Cleary from Chad's Ford also assisted with information. Mayor Wood was contacted by a young scout who was interested in doing a beautification enhancement at the borough sign in honor of Stacy Smith, our former mayor. I sent an email to the mother of the scout to schedule a meeting to discuss details, but I have not heard back yet. The members of the mayor's events committee have some exciting community events, which they'll report of. He'll leave that to me later on in the meeting. We are seeking someone to help lead the planning and implementation of a 75th anniversary sometime in the fall or possibly next spring, depending on where we are with the coronavirus. And finally, the mayor has been working to gather information about providing an IRA retirement account for employees of the borough who work full-time for the borough. Other than these items, just routine matters.
Thank you, Gina. Moving forward, we have committee reports. School district, education, library. Susan?
I'll turn it over to Mary Kay. She already sent me a nice little summary.
Just want to announce we plan to bring back grades 6 through 12 for in-person instruction on Monday, April 12th. We've already brought back the elementary and middle school students, so this is a big step. And the other item I wanted to announce, and you can check it on the website too, under superintendent communication from April 3rd. What we're finding out is that currently our students are only permitted to access their learning remotely for COVID-related symptoms and if they've been exposed or they're quarantining. Beginning tomorrow, April 6th, out of an abundance of caution for students and staff, we will provide flexibility for students and families to Zoom in when there is a concern of COVID symptoms, but not necessarily a confirmed COVID test. The symptoms are listed on the website, So we're just basically asking families to keep their children home if they develop any of these symptoms and to contact their physician as well as the school nurse. So that is something that will be in effect tomorrow. So just trying to keep everybody as healthy as possible. Thank you.
Okay. Well,
Susan, anything else?
Nothing.
Can I?
Something.
Oh, I'm sorry, Debbie. Go ahead.
Can I report for the library? I'm sorry.
Please.
You sure can?
Okay. They had an annual survey, and it showed that there was a 23% decrease. But, of course, the library was closed for 25% of the time last year. So that was part of that decrease. And I also wanted to let the borough know that Eagle Scout project is going on, and there's going to be an Eagle Scout raising funds to replace or refurbish the wooden sign outside the library. So that'll be going on also. Thank you.
I had, you know, Debbie, in your newsletter this month, a couple things. One is, I didn't even realize this. Apparently there's a drop box for the Garnet Valley Food Pantry.
Yes, that's on the website.
Okay.
There is, and they will accept donations. You can leave them inside the shed that's on the property there. Okay. And on the website, they have like donations of canned tuna, canned meat, soups, those kind of things, suggestions also. Mm-hmm. Also on the website, there are some free virtual things available to the community to take part in. Chair yoga, there's a webinar, and there's a museum webinar coming up.
Is the library open yet?
No, it's on a there's a thing called grab and go where you can go in for 15 minutes to browse and go.
Is that
and there's also still curb pickup.
Yeah, is but that when you go ahead? When you go in there, is that when you can grab tax forms too?
Yes. Well, okay. They're also in there, the tax forms. I'm probably that would be the time. You could call. They suggest you call when you're in the parking lot to arrange your time to come in.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Debbie, okay. Thank you. Okay, moving forward, we have Finance Insurance Committee. Sue or Laura?
Hi. Yes. So the first thing that the Finance Committee would like to do is what we spoke about before, which is make the motion to move the Pliget I-Class account, which went away, now it's called the reserve account, of $305,000, $160.23 to the Santander interest-bearing account with 0.10%. And I will follow up about the FDIC insured because that is important and see what their information is. But I would like to make the motion to proceed with that.
I'll make the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? The motion is approved.
Thank you. And I'll follow up before we actually execute, just so everybody understands. The second thing that we'd like to do, which we mentioned at the work session, is as we understand it as a council, we believe that we're going to get approximately $270,000 from the American Relief Act of 2021. And I'd like to go ahead and make the motion to have, once we receive that funds, that we will put it in a separate account. My initial idea was the Santander Bank as well, because it's the one with the largest rate interest bearing at this time of the 0.10%. And as we understand, it'll be $270,000. So I'd like to make that motion at that time, that once we receive that money, we will keep it in a separate account, ideally that Santander Bank account interest bearing. We did do research and we have found no limitations that we're not allowed to put money in an interest bearing account at this time.
Are you calling for a motion, Laura?
Yes, please.
Yes,
I'm calling for the motion for the money to be put in a separate account once we receive it.
I'll make the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
The floor is open for discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion is approved. Laura, thank you. Anything further?
No, counsel, that's all.
Great. Okay, moving forward, we have Fire Company Finance Committee. No report tonight. Nominating vacancy, no report. Communications, public relations.
Thank you, Mr. President. Else? Two quick things. The newsletter dropped on April 1st, so I'm understanding that some people already have it in their mailbox. And if you don't, you'll be getting it soon. Thank you for helping participate in creating it. And the website redo is underway with the first version of the new website in Sue's and my inbox to go ahead and take a deep dive into it and go back to the revisions. Thank you.
Thank you, Gina. Moving forward, we have the Mayor's Event Committee.
That is me as well. Thank you, Mr. President. I can report that Natalie Anderson and I met with Father Steve at St. Thomas a week and a half ago. And the new pastors at St. Thomas are more than open to having joint community events on their property. So tentatively scheduled right now, we have a bookend of the summer movie nights, one for the first weekend that school out at St. Thomas, because it's their calendar that we need to pay attention to on a Friday night. And then one sometime in September, just not the weekend of the recycling event. We're looking at September, I think 16th or 17th, whatever that Friday night is. So we'd be having two movie nights, easy to be able to stay socially distanced with people on blankets separate from other family groups. And just looking to schedule that. So that's the most exciting thing, is that we actually have locations to do movie nights again. And then everything else is still up in the air. We're obviously not discussing Christmas yet, not discussing anything indoors. Those are both outdoor events. And that's it. But fortunately, we have two new pastors at St. Thomas who are open to having a relationship with the borough.
Somebody has background noise. I think that might be Lim.
Oh.
Is that you, Laura? Okay, moving forward.
Yes, my apologies. Agenda.
That's okay. Moving forward on the agenda, we have Historical Committee. Sue, do you have anything for us for Historical?
Sue, you're on mute.
Sue, can you hear us?
Yes. Okay. Anne's here. She's going to cover that.
Anne, the floor is yours.
I sent a letter to council. I sent a letter to Sue. Did you send the letter to Drew?
Yes, I did.
Okay. All right. I guess let me just go back to my letters for a second. So we've been working for the past couple of months on the design and placement of a sign to commemorate the DeSalvo family and their contributions to Chester Heights with the fire company, and also their stand that was at the corner of Valley Brook and Llewellyn. We've met twice with Charles and his wife, and in those meetings, we decided that we'd like to erect a sign that goes in the pocket park in the vicinity of where the DeSalvo store used to be. The sign that we chose was a double-sided powder-coated aluminum custom fabricated post sign, 42 by 28 inches. It's going to have a decorative roof on it. And one side of the sign depicts photos and descriptions of the DeSalvo's market. The other side would show photos and descriptions of their involvement in the fire company. We know that council had approved $3,000 to be allocated in the budget for the sign. We went out to two different companies asked for quotes for the same specifications for the sign. we went to a local company called Legacy Sign Company, and they quoted us. And I think I included in my letter all of the different quotes that we got. $2,750 for the sign and an additional $725 for the installation. And then there was Gopher Sign Company that's located in St. Paul, Minnesota, and their quote was $3,215 for the sign with the roof and $2,550 without it. But their proposal did not include installation. So we're ready to go with this project, but we need to get, we were hoping that council would consider approving the additional $475 over the budgeted $300 to cover the cost of the installation of the sign if we use Legacy Sign Company. We did prefer to have the roof on the sign so that it would be more noticeable. And we do prefer to use a local company rather than using one in St. Paul, Minnesota. So we were, that was the request that I made in my letter. We were hoping to have the approval done because this, they said they could install the sign in 6 to 7 weeks, which could put it close to Memorial Day, which is, you know, when we thought we would like to have it installed and so people could see it then. And then we also wanted to ask for approval from the Parks Committee on placement of the sign. We did go out and look at the park, and we sort of came up with a location that we'd like to use it. So that's it.
And would that total expenditure be $3,500? Is that correct? If I'm following you, $3,000 plus an additional $495?
It was $2,750. Plus $725 for installation.
$3,475. So we might as well just round up to $3,500.
Okay. So I call for a motion to increase the expenditure for the DeSalvo Park sign to $3,500.
President Baum?
Yes.
So I just wanted to jump in here because I'm not really sure if we need to make a motion because on the finance committee and as the parks person, I can tell you that the $3,000 that's already allocated on the budget, that's fine. The $475 we can take from the existing DeSalvo budget that we have planned. We have a budget already for 2021 of $11,000. Okay, and since it's going to go in DeSalvo Park, we can just go ahead. And I don't know if we need to make a motion or as the Parks Committee, I can just go ahead and let you know that from my perspective, that that's fine, that that money goes to that signage since it's going to go in DeSalvo Park. And we've already allotted $11,000 for this year for DeSalvo Park.
I think that's fine. Jerry, can you confirm that if the money's in the budget for this year, there's no motion required?
It wouldn't be a motion required. It's already in the budget this year.
All right. So, Ms. Searle, is that enough information for you to go ahead and proceed?
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm.
All right. And Sue, do you have everything that you need to go ahead and work with Peng for that expenditure?
Yes.
All right. And thank you, Ms. Searle, for working on this. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Yes, Ann, thank you for your time.
And the location, as Ann mentioned, the location. Yes.
Do we need to vote on that or is that acceptable? Ms. Timmons spoke to me, and I know that at this point in time, there are no future plans for that location. So I don't see any issue with where the signage is ideally going to be placed.
Back in 2014, that was the original plan where the plaque sign would go.
Do you think we need a quick on-site meeting, Ann? Would that be helpful with the Parks Committee and Historic Committee?
It's fine with me if you want to do that. There's sort of a circle in the grass there, and we were just kind of looking to put it right in the middle of that circle.
Okay. That's fine. If you want to reach out, or Sue Timmons, if you want to reach out to members of the Historic Committee, just confirm that or have a quick on-site visit, whichever is best for you to keep moving forward.
We've been meeting on Sunday afternoon, so if we could, you know, maybe just take 5 minutes to take a look at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And thank you again.
You're welcome. Can I just ask one more question? Councilwoman Lim, on the letters going to people about the historic markers, do we have anything to update people about that?
Yeah, so that's a good question. We have the letter drafted, and we are ready to, I'm ready to sit down with Ms. Timmons and actually identify which of the properties are, who the parcel owners are, and to verify the addresses so we can send the letter out. I did ask Ms. Anderson, Natalie, Councilman Anderson, if she could reach out to Legacy as well, because the last two price quotes I got for the potential signage, one was $600 and one was $1,200. That's out of our budget, exactly. So I asked Ms. Councilwoman Anderson if she could reach out to Legacy as well. In lieu of that, I can go ahead and just find an image of what I'm looking for to give the residents an idea of what we would be offering and just make it clear that this is not the exact, but it's a likeness of the signages that we're looking for. So that's the next step.
Thanks.
And you, in the letter, you said the Chester Heights Historical Committee. Is that separate from Borough Council, or is that the Historical Committee of the of Borough Council?
It's just the Historical Committee.
So the one that
is the committee person for?
Yeah, I'm just noticing, Sue Timmons, that Anne's not listed as a member of the Historical Committee on the agenda. Just something to take a look at, maybe fix.
Well, maybe we can appoint Anne and Tony right now. I don't know if that's something, Drew, we could do right now.
Absolutely.
Natalie, let's do it right now. Drew, and Anne.
Sue Clark, I'll give you the honor of calling for that motion, if you would like.
Okay. Did you say Tony as well?
Tony, I already. Natalie Anderson and Anne Cyril. We've all been participating in this.
Is that, I'm sorry, I'm just not clear on one thing now. So it's got you, Sue, and Dave Berksker and Fred Wood. Are Dave and Fred not part of it anymore?
They've been involved at different points on different issues. But for this effort, it's Anne, Natalie, and Tony.
For the DeSalvo Park versus the home signage. Correct.
Yeah, I think, Drew, I think maybe we should discuss it at the work session, since you're the one that appoints committees. Because I'm not clear what's on the agenda, but if Anne's working on behalf of the borough, then do we need to add her? It's just a question.
I think we do.
Okay.
Okay, so we can put that on the agenda, and I will make the appointment at the work session. Anne, thank you again for your time and your efforts.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, up next on committee reports, we have planning, zoning. Susan?
There was no planning commission meeting last month, but there is expected to be one this month. That's my report.
Okay, engineering, construction, inspections?
Nothing that Matt and Rich Jensen have not already reported on.
Okay, ordinance code review?
Okay, so there's two ordinances that we're looking at. One is the medical marijuana dispensary ordinance. I believe, Jerry, we're going to talk about that at the work session, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And then the other one is Chapter 61, whether or not we want to keep it in the code or not. So what Jerry and I said is we would do the medical marijuana and Chapter 61, if there's any changes, at the same time to save on legal advertising costs. Then the committee will meet and decide what ordinances we want to tackle next. That's my update. Any questions?
Susan, thank you. Any questions for Susan? Okay, moving forward, we have public safety environment. Dave Furtzker is not present tonight, but he had just emailed me about 20 minutes ago an activity report for the fire company, which I will have Sue post on the website tomorrow for everyone to see. Other than that, no report. Public safety, borough police protection, no report. We haven't met yet. I'm looking forward to hopefully meeting, who knows when, maybe towards the end of this year. It'll be safe for us to gather. Borough property, parks, open space. Laura, I'll defer to you.
No, just the update that everybody heard earlier with Engineer Hootman is helping me finalize the questions for the general contractor so we can establish a date to get the playground equipment installed. That's the big piece that we're working on now. And Matt Hootman also has been working with Mr. Conrad to come up with a date to begin working on the walking trail. So that's your update. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Moving forward, highways, transportation, Larry.
Nothing that I've heard. If there is a survey out there that people, the public can have input on, I've been filling it out as often as I can and highlighting Llewellyn Road as being need to be paved, not pothole filled. So other than that, no further business.
Okay, Larry, thank you. Moving forward, public utilities, trash, recycle.
Okay, so.
Laura, do you have anything for us?
Nothing to report.
Okay, moving forward, do we have any old business tonight? Okay, new business. Susan, I'll let you jump in.
Yeah, I've just had feedback from a couple residents about the condition of the post office parking lot. Rich Jensen has left the call, but I don't know if it's a safety concern or if it's more just of a nuisance, but I just didn't know if there was anything the borough could do about that.
I would think if it was a public safety issue, the borough could have the zoning officer send a notice. The parking lot is probably in not the best condition. How much the borough can do about that, that's what I'm not sure about, but I can pass that along to Rich Jensen.
Yeah, he just has to have at least a PennDOT mentality, fill the potholes.
Sure.
He's probably waiting to sell it. Until it gets fixed, either him or whoever buys it.
Could be.
Or to tear it up so he can connect a sewer system. And then once it's torn up and the sewer system is connected, now that we've approved it, maybe then we can hope for.
Yeah, if I may add, if he goes through with his development plans, that whole parking lot gets reconstructed. So that's not saying he shouldn't take care of potholes, but in terms of a total redo, probably waiting on getting all his approvals so he can do the improvements or have somebody else do the improvements.
I'll just tell people to deal with it in the meantime.
And while we're on the topic of One Smith Bridge Road, you know, the question was asked by Mr. Turkin, you know, has the borough had conversations with Mr. Conrad about possible development? There really hasn't been any conversation in the last 5, 6, 7 years, Matt, would you say? Because they've been in such a stalemate. There hasn't been anything much to talk about, quite frankly.
He came to a borough council meeting in 2017, I think, and showed us pictures. And he showed us pictures of what he was planning to do with the restaurant. So that was still, you know, three or four years ago. That's what he was still planning to do.
Mm-hmm. I think he was, but in the meantime, I think Southwest had tightened the screws, so to speak, and the future probably looked bleak or uncertain, to say the least, I would say. Okay, do we have any further new business tonight? Okay, moving forward, we have an additional period for public comment. We ask you to state your name and address for the record.
Okay, Marta.
Nothing, thank you.
Okay. Dan Iannucci. Nothing, Sam. Okay. Elizabeth McMacken.
McKinney.
McKinney, sorry. It only shows part your name. Do you have anything? Nothing?
Nothing, thank you.
Okay. Ron Serkin?
No, nothing else, thanks.
Okay. Ann, do you have anything further?
No, thanks.
Okay. Jean Montgomery?
No, thank you.
Okay. Debbie Miller, anything further?
No, thanks.
Nancy Server?
No, thank you.
Okay. I think that's it then. Mary Kay, do you have anything?
No, thank you.
Okay. That's it.
Larry, thank you. At this time, do I have a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting?
Motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved. Larry, thank you. Matt, thank you. Jerry, thank you. Mike, thank you. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good night.